It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know
Big
what
Daddy,
it is?
How you doing? Morning.
I'm real good. I'm real, real good, Corey LaJoie. I'm real, real good. Because when we finish the show today, when we make our way across the finish line at 10 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, we will be officially 2 days and 2 hours away from the beginning of the college football season. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan of State. Happy Thursday, my dudes and dudettes. The week just screaming on by this week. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, back in the network studio in charge of this thing and everything else that's happening on the radio that you like, love, enjoy. And we collectively, as one, and as the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Award winners,
winning,
are just thrilled to have you along for the ride with us as we move ever closer to the start of the NCAA football season. Of course, the NFL's final preseason week is upon us now, and both of those are giving us a ton of storylines, a ton of intrigue, a ton of things to talk about over the next 4 hours. I am assuming through tomorrow as well, all the way up until we gather once more on Saturday evening. On Saturday afternoon, as we sit in our various lazy boys, on our various couches, in our lawn chairs, whatever you may recline in on game day Saturday morning, between here and there, we've got all the sports talk that you can handle, and then just a little more. Back in the network studio, the guy in charge of this program and every other program, the great one, Lonzo, is here as well. Lonzo, do you feel it this morning? Is it? Are you in the zone this morning?
I'm projecting myself a week from now when I'll be in the zone. I'm not. I can't go against my own narrative, my own feeling that it's week zero and there's nothing really good on. I get that you're hyped, and I'm glad for you. And there are a lot of people out there like you, but I guess I'm a casual. And us casuals, we're waiting for meaningful football, which will not take place this weekend.
There is meaningful football that takes place this week. There are teams playing this weekend for whomst. A loss could derail the season before it even gets going. If Florida State was to drop one in an upset to Georgia Tech, their season effectively ends before it even starts.
Yeah, I'm doubting your conviction on that. Like you believe that for even a second. I would say maybe, and I'm just guessing, maybe there's an infinitesimal amount of numbers, whatever that is, like 0.005, that you believe that Florida State's going to lose to Georgia Tech?
There is a difference between the belief that something will happen and that something could happen. Those are different. Do I believe it will happen? No, I do not think that it will. There's a reason that the Noles enter as a, by the way, 11.5-point favorite, down from a 13.5-point favorite when that line opened. There's a reason that they are an 11.5-point favorite, but...
Is that because of betting?
Bigger underdogs lose.
Is that more because of money that the line went down?
So in a situation like that, there's two reasons that a line would come down. Reason number one is that Vegas learned something, some bit of information that has not made its way into the public eye has been acquired by Las Vegas, and they adjusted the number before that information came out. But the second reason, and in this case, I think the reason that this did happen, and I say it because of how far out from the game that line moved. Ordinarily, if it's information that changed the line, and that information comes out a week and a half before kickoff, and that line moves, then usually by now, less than two and a half days out before the game, ordinarily we'd have that information, right? If we found out that DJ Uiagalelei had a bruised left toe and his status was going to be in question, then usually we would know that by now. Because if that information made its way to the bookmakers in Vegas, it would slip out at some point. So in this case, the answer is yes. This is about either A, money, or B, number of bets coming in. It means that either A, when the line was at minus 13 and a half in favor of Florida State, it either means that a majority of the money was coming in, meaning that whether or not Georgia Tech was getting the majority of the bets is irrelevant. They were getting a huge, the biggest bets, right? They were getting more bets. So a bet, you might have seven $5 bets over here, but one $100 bet over there. The money's not split in this case. Vegas wants the money split, whether it's coming in with 10,000 $5 bets or 5,000 $100 bets, they want the money to come in equally. So either a majority of the bets were coming in on Georgia Tech by a heavy number, or the much larger bets were coming in on Georgia Tech. Either way, the money was different. And so they moved that line down, basically trying to entice more bettors to take Florida State minus the number so that they could get a 50% bet on both sides of that game, that week zero game. Because with the minus money, minus 110, which means that if you bet $100 and you win, you're getting 90 back, or the other way around, you got to bet $110 to make 100. Effectively, what Vegas lives on are those minus money bets, right? So if the number is minus 110, and now that the number is at minus 11 and a half, the number is minus 110 for both, meaning that they have in the game what we call juice. The juice is usually what the casino, it's not like a charge as in you have to accept the charge. It's more the amount of money that you have to, the amount of money the casino takes off the bet. So like I said, at minus 110, we would say there's juice to that number, meaning I've got to bet $110 to win 100 back. And on the flip side, all the people betting the other side have to bet 110 to win 100. So if I win the bet and I bet $110 and you lose the bet and you bet $110, the casino gives me back $100, but they take from you $110. And so they give me your $100 because we had, right, they got equal money on both sides of the line. They got my $110. They got your $110. That was the bet. So that's why they want 50%, because what happens here is they give me my $100 I won, but they take from you your $110 that your bet lost. That $10 difference, that's the money that Vegas makes. That's how Vegas makes their money here. So whenever you hear somebody like me saying Vegas wants 50% of the money coming in one direction or the other, that is why. Because the offset in paying out the people who bet correctly and get it right, the offset is the money that came off of the bets from people that bet the other side, that is a higher number than the number that I took from Vegas. So in this case, your 110 goes to the casino. They owe me 100. That extra $10 they took from you, that's Las Vegas's profit margin. That's why you see those numbers like minus 110, 15, 120 attached to the most likely outcome, right? So for instance, if you go look at this week zero line, as a matter of fact, I just got emailed from our friends at BetMGM. I just got emailed the college football week one betting lines. So looking at our week zero betting lines, looking at those lines right now on the money line, which is just betting the outright winner, right? Just betting the outright winner. That is to say, no points, just whoever wins the football game. Florida State is minus 550. Georgia Tech is plus 400. What that means is if I want to bet Florida State to outright win the football game, I just think at the end of the game, FSU wins. I have to bet $550 for my payout to end up equaling $100. Why? Because Florida State winning is way the most likely outcome. Georgia Tech's money line win, which is to just win the game, in this case, an outright upset win over Florida State, that number is plus 400, meaning that if you bet $100 on Georgia Tech to win that game, your $100 would turn into $400 that would return from you. So how does Vegas make up that difference? Well, what they are hoping is to get half the money coming in on Florida State. That would be all the people that paid $550. So for every FSU bettor that bet $550 to make $100 back, if there is a Georgia Tech win here, then they would take those $550 bets. They would then utilize them to pay out the half of the people who bet Georgia Tech at plus 400, and Vegas would keep that $150 worth of difference. On the flip side, if you get half the people who bet Georgia Tech at plus 400 because they think there is the possibility of an upset, if Florida State wins, even though a lot more money came in on Florida State, the payout's much less, right? They only have to pay out $100 for every $550 that Florida State bettors were to make, but they collected $400 bets from Georgia Tech fans. So they would pay that $400 to the $100 Florida State bettors that risked $550, and that $300 difference per $100 bet is what Vegas would bank on there. So that is why you usually see numbers like minus 110, minus 105, minus 115 when you have a point spread, because it is much more likely that the point spread is around 12 and a half points, which the line is now, it is actually down to 10 and a half points now. Great one. So Georgia Tech still getting most of the money at minus 10 and a half for FSU. They believe that the outcome is way more likely that Florida State wins this game somewhere in the 10 and a half point range, obviously, than an upset, which is why the upset numbers are so skewed, minus 550 plus 400 versus the line when you take the point spread into consideration of 10 and a half, where those lines are minus 110. It doesn't matter which side of that you look at, they want half of the money coming in one direction or the other. Interestingly enough, when the line was at minus 11 and a half for Florida State, 60% of the money was coming in on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Now that that line is at minus 10 and a half, 62% of the money is now coming in on Florida State. So now we know where the betting public is. They believe that Florida State minus 11 to win this game by 11 points or better is the actual number. And this point spread on the books will hang somewhere in that range because now they've got about 50% of the money coming in. They will let this line stay where this line is now that Florida State is catching 66% of the bets and 62% of the money being bet. Once the total bets collected for BetMGM, once the total bets collected is at 50%, right? So like $1 million bet on Florida State. Now that if they got $1 million in Georgia Tech bets, which is why that line moved towards Florida State or towards Georgia Tech, if they took in $1 million in Georgia Tech bets and $700,000 in Florida State bets, then they will skew the line towards Florida State. And once the FSU bets get close to $1 million, then they'll shift that line back to minus 11 and try to keep the rest of the bets at 50% each direction. I know that that is long-winded, but I hope that it in some way, shape, or form made sense for those of you that maybe don't gamble but do keep track of what these lines are telling you about individual games and teams throughout the course of the season. So there you go. Little gambling for noobs out of the gate as we are set just a little over 2 weeks away from the beginning of college football 2024 with week zero action starting off at noon this Saturday when the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech and the Seminoles of Florida State do battle in Dublin, Ireland. We'll address that game as well as the other three games going on. By the way, something very interesting I saw earlier in the day, a couple of days ago, Lonzo said that he would not be surprised to see new ACC member Southern Methodist University participating in the Atlantic Coast Conference championship football game this year. Well, I was taking a look late last night as I was preparing to lay my sweet head down to sleep. And I saw something that popped up from the Kelly Ford ratings. I've had Kelly on the show on the BetQL network a couple of times. And he put up something very, very interesting about the ACC that I want to get to you coming up here in just a little while about SMU and their chance to outperform Clemson in the ACC season this year. It's very interesting. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little while from now. We got some MLB to talk about. The Atlanta Braves drop game 2 of a 3-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies 3-2 last night, leveling the series at 1 game apiece. But the opportunity to win the series is still ahead of the Bravos. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll get some NFL talk as Bo Nix has been named the starter for the Denver Broncos. He joins Caleb Williams as a starter, Jaden Daniels as a starter. Only Drake May left to be determined from the potential rookie starters. We'll talk about some quarterbacks across the NFL and more. It's all coming up as the Rob Brown Show rolls on. The great one, Lonzo. Rob Brown, you, this is the Fan Upstate.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It is absolutely the award-winning Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo, and we are thrilled to have you along for the ride on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. You can also search for The Fan Upstate on YouTube. You can join the Rob Brown Show on Facebook or on YouTube or on Twitch if you wish. And, you know, I've never intended to beg you guys before to share the good word of the Rob Brown Show out and about in public. But, you know, it's 2024. We really don't have a choice anymore. So, hey, if you enjoy the show, if we are part of your mornings more than a couple of times a week, if you get up, if you have your alarm set to the Fan Upstate, if you listen to the Rob Brown Show during your drive to work, maybe in the early mornings when no one else is awake and you're up and down in the kitchen, pouring the coffee, making the toast, whatever you do in the AM. If you listen to the show and we are part of your morning, do us a favor. Tell your friends about us. All right. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers that you know are up early. Tell your family members that are up early. Ask them to tune into the stream and give us a shot. And if you are on social media, whether it's on Facebook or on X or on Instagram or wherever else, do me a favor and share The Rob Brown Show. You can find me on all of those platforms at The Rob Brown Show on X, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can do the same for the Fan Upstate. Do us a favor and share our stuff around, because here's the reality. The station is only going to grow if you guys grow with it. The station is only going to grow if y'all grow us alongside you. So if you like the show, if you like the station, follow us across our social media accounts. And if you're not on social media, use the oldest form of communication known to man, that good old-fashioned word of mouth. Do us a favor. Share the good word of The Rob Brown Show, because I'm going to be honest with you. We want to grow the show. We want to get better. We want to get bigger. We want to keep taking this thing to the moon. But you guys are the rocket fuel that get us there. So if you like the show, if you're enjoying the show, please do us a favor. Tell your friends, tell your family, ask them to give us a chance in the mornings from 6 until 10 a.m. All right. During the, last night, as I was getting ready to go to bed, I stayed up late last night watching a little baseball and scrolling the internet, just to see what was going on out and about in the landscape of college footy, because I was, I was curious. Couple of days ago on the BetQL network, on the BetQL network, I have been filling in on the BetQL network's early afternoon show, You Better, You Bet. Initially hosted by Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, but our guy Ken has decided to step away to go search for bigger, better opportunities. So now Nick Costos in the lab drawing up what that new show is going to look like. And while he is, they, of course, called old Rob Brown and said, "Hey, bud, could you hold down the fort for us while we get this thing working in a new direction?" And I said, "Of course, I would be more than happy to." Well, last week, we had on Kelly Ford. Kelly Ford runs a website called the K Ford Rankings, and I find it very interesting. Kelly Ford runs an algorithm that takes a lot of different variables into consideration. It looks like it looks at the history of programs. It looks at the strengths and weaknesses of programs. It looks at the historical home and away record difficulty level of programs. It looks at the individual player stats of different players, game by game, scenario by scenario. And he plugs it all into a big supercomputer. He winds that supercomputer up, and then it spits out, after multiple simulations of the college football season, it spits out the average projections of college football results. Yesterday evening, I went and I looked across the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12, the Power Three conferences, as it were, to see kind of what the K Ford rankings ultimately look like. And for the record, I actually kind of like the K Ford rankings. I went back and compared some of the old K Ford rankings. It's a pretty good method. It's not perfect, but you know, not even I'm perfect, and I know ball. So I went and looked at the K Ford rankings, and there were a couple of interesting things that jumped off the page at me. One of them is the projected chance to win at least blank regular season games based on the Cade Ford rankings. And I was scrolling through some of the different conferences, as it were, and they're, you know, not many that were uber surprising. There was something very interesting in the Big 12. Nobody projected, according to the K Ford rankings, to win above 9 games this year. Over in the Big Ten, three schools projected to win either 10 or 11 games. Michigan, not one of them. I went and looked at the Southeastern Conference. One team projected to win over 10 games, but then there are three more projected to win 9 games, meaning we could have a bit of a cluster in the Southeastern Conference. And then I looked at the ACC. This is very interesting to me, Lonzo. According to the Kelly Ford rankings, Clemson is projected to have 6 ACC wins. They have an 8% chance of winning 8 ACC games, pardon me, a 34% chance of winning 7 ACC games, and a 67% chance of winning 6 ACC games. Now, I brought you the Kelly Ford rankings last week after I had Kelly on You Better, You Bet on the BetQL Network. And at the time, Florida State had the best odds to go undefeated in the conference. Florida State had the best odds to win all 8 conference games, also had the best odds to win 7 and 6. Now, Florida State trails Clemson in all of those metrics. Something has changed over the past week that the K-Ford rankings, which I believe Kelly runs these every day with new information as it develops from the teams. The Kelly Ford metrics have flipped over and now declare that Clemson is the most likely team to win the most games in the ACC. But there's something else that's very interesting to me, and it is this. He also ran the K-Ford rankings on the ACC's projected overall wins. And there's two things that jumped out here. Great one. Number one, the ACC, according to the K-Ford rankings, which again, I like, they're not perfect, but they're pretty good. The K-Ford rankings, Lonzo, project no teams in the ACC to win more than 9 games. They have SMU with an average win per simulation total of 8.9. Clemson, 8.8. Florida State, 8.7. Miami, 8.5. NC State, 8.5. And Louisville, 8.1 wins per simulation. There are 7 teams in the ACC that the K-Ford rankings say win an average of 8 to 9 games per simulation. 0 that average 10 wins. And most interestingly of all, and this is something I talked about when you brought up SMU earlier in the week, one of the things I do like about the Stangs, they do got a cakewalk schedule in their debut year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. The K-Ford rankings say that, on average, SMU wins more games per simulation than Clemson, Florida State, Miami, NC State, and Louisville. That jumped off the page at me a little bit.
That's good. If that plays out, that's going to be wild, them trying to figure out who's going to play for the ACC championship. It's probably going to come down to non-conference. Who they play in non-conference, and SMU doesn't really play anybody in non-conference.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is something we're going to talk about, and I suspect this is going to be relatively similar conference to conference, and I do intend to bring it up in the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, so stay tuned for that coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. The top 3 sports stories you need to know in the world. Sports, before you head to the office. The Southeastern Conference released their tiebreakers in case of the case there being a conference record tie in the ACC, because, or in the SEC. Remember, it is about conference records in the league, not overall records. If a team goes undefeated in the conference but loses every non-conference game, they can still go to the SEC title game. I assume the ACC is going to be set up the same when it comes to the tiebreakers. The SEC tiebreakers begin with head-to-head competition. So if there are two teams with a tied conference record vying for one spot, if they played each other, the winner goes. if they did not play each other, the record versus all common conference opponents amongst the tied teams. If they have the same record against common conference opponents, then it is the record against the highest placed common conference opponent. So if both of you played the number 17 team in the country in the SEC, whoever won that game would go. If there is a tie there, cumulative conference winning percentage of all conference opponents amongst the tied teams. So they would take a look at your X amount of wins, my X amount of wins, and whatever the highest winning percentage of the opponents of our overall SEC record are, they would go, if that's a tie, then it's capped relative total scoring margin versus all conference opponents amongst the tied teams. So basically, whoever scored the most and gave up the fewest points, and if that's a tie, tiebreaker six is a coin flip. So this is going to be interesting, because I assume the ACC will likely follow a very similar path. But when it comes to SMU, like I said, they got Florida State at home September 28th. That's the only ranked team on the schedule. They've got to go to Louisville. That's the most difficult road game on the schedule. And all their other opponents in the ACC, down the stretch, they got Duke, Pitt, Boston College, Virginia, and Cal. That's pretty much the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the ACC. I got to tell you, Zoe, you picked SMU to be in the ACC championship earlier this week, and I went, "Dad, I think that's a little aggressive for season one." My man, they got a cakewalk schedule. You might be on to something there. We'll talk more about it as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and you. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. So we're going to do some college football playoff projections later in the show. And one of the questions that I intended to ask later in the day is there a path for multiple teams out of the Atlantic Coast Conference to make the playoffs? That is something that I think is up in the air, because I do think there's the possibility for a couple of teams within the ACC to finish the season with 10, perhaps 11 wins. There is a distinct possibility that the ACC could end up within 11-1, maybe a 10-2 team that's right there on the verge of the playoffs. Now, I will start by going ahead and getting the conspiracy theory out of the way, that conspiracy theory being that if there is an ACC team right on the edge of the playoff, but there's also an SEC or a Big Ten team right on the edge of the playoff, and the records are similar, perhaps if the power conference team, I am considering the power conferences for the sake of this discussion to be the two big dogs, the Big Ten and the SEC. If the team out of one of those conferences also has one more loss than the ACC team, I think they'll get jumped. But I do think there is the possibility for a team to be right on the edge. Who is that team? I'm going to say Lonzo might be onto something here. And they might be onto something here with the potential for the SMU Mustangs. I like this team a lot. We have talked about it a number of times this year. We were at ACC Media Days. Rhett Lashley is their head coach. I got the chance to talk to Rhett Lashley. You want to talk about a dude who's intense. You want to talk about a dude who just, he's in that football mindset. And that football mindset never turns off. He is just always intense. Every question you ask him, he is giving you a football coach answer. There is no letdown out of this guy. And on top of that, as we have followed SMU making their way into the Atlantic Coast Conference for the first time this year, SMU has, as we have mentioned, adopted this mentality of, okay, we have come back finally from the death penalty a number of years ago. We have gotten rid of the stigma of the death penalty around SMU football. Now it is time for us to prove that that mentality is gone. And I got that vibe from Rhett Lashley. I also got the chance to talk to Preston Stone, who will be the starting quarterback for this conference. The ACC likes to fashion itself as the conference of quarterbacks this year. Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Preston Stone is a good one. Preston Stone has the opportunity, I think, to be genuinely a dark horse candidate for the QB of the year, both in the ACC and nationally. I would keep an eye on this kid this year. He might be very, very good. Some questions about wide receiver, some questions about their ability to run the ball with Breshard Smith. He is a senior transfer into SMU. But what is interesting here is I do think that Florida State is a better football team than SMU. I do believe that the Clemson Tigers are a better football team than SMU. What I also think is that SMU has been blessed by the football gods with the schedule that has been laid out ahead of them. Listen to this schedule and tell me if you don't find it interesting as I do. They open this weekend, week zero, on the road at Nevada, taking on the Wolfpack. Week number two, they take on Houston Christian. Week three, they stay at home to take on BYU. Week four, they stay at home September 21st to take on TCU. Not the same Horned Frogs that were playing for a national championship a few years ago. September 28th, they stay at home. This team does not leave Dallas after week zero until October 5th. September 28th, they are at home for the only team that they play ranked inside of the AP preseason top 25, the Florida State Seminoles. And again, I'm a little down on FSU this year. I think they lost way too much talent to find themselves back in competition for an undefeated run to the Natty again this year. Then SMU has three consecutive road games. They are at Louisville, who is going to be a good team this year, but they ain't the same Louisville. They haven't been able to find their next great quarterback as Jeff Brohm did so many years in a row at Louisville. Then they're at Stanford, a trip out to the left coast. Then they're at Duke. From October 19th, 7 days later, they fly to the exact opposite end of the country to take on the Blue Devils on the 26th of October. Back home for a pair of games against Pitt and Boston College. Their final road game comes November 23rd when they are on the road at the Virginia Cavaliers. And they're back to the house on November 30th, rivalry weekend. They have been set for a dance with the other newcomer to the ACC, California. That one is going to be in Dallas as well. When Lonzo brought up SMU the other day as a potential participant in the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship, I said, you know, I like Preston Stone a lot. I think Rhett Lashley has grown up in the last couple of years as a head coach. I like where his head is at. I can't say I enjoyed the, I say this respectfully, respectfully as I can. I can't say I really enjoyed the conversation with Rhett Lashley, because Rhett Lashley is like the king of coach speak. All right. You don't get anything out of Rhett Lashley. It's just a coach speak diatribe every time he talks, but the guy's intense. I mean, the guy's intense. And if his team adopts his personality, it's going to be a very intense football team in their debut year in this conference. But now that I've really had a chance to look at, to dive into, to really break down some of the schedules of teams that we think are maybe more long shot conference competitors across the big three, the ACC, SEC, and Big Ten, I got to tell you, great one. SMU might have the easiest schedule out of anybody, or at least anybody that's considered to be even a dark horse contender. They have one preseason top 25 matchup, and it's at home. Outside of that, they basically caught everybody that is in the bottom of the barrel of the ACC power rankings. SMU might back their way in just by default as long as they don't blow it somewhere.
Well, the thing is this a step up as far as them playing more talent? We're going to find out where the ACC stands from the division that SMU came from. A lot of people would think they don't belong with the talent in the ACC. We're going to see. If they can compete at all, they're going to win a lot of games there, and I just got a feeling. It's odd because we've went through ACC, Big Ten, and SEC, and one or both of us are picking newcomers to be in the championship games of all three of those conferences.
Yep. That is correct. Lonzo selected the Texas Longhorns to play in the Southeastern Conference Championship game. I selected the Oregon Ducks to participate in the Big Ten Championship game. Lonzo selected SMU to participate in the ACC title game. Now, I want to go back to last year's schedule. For these SMU Mustangs, they were in the AAC last year at this time. And I'm looking up and down the schedule. They lost two regular season games. One of those regular season games was on the road in week two when they traveled to Oklahoma to take on Brent Venables and his Boomer Sooners. They dropped that one 28-11. 2 weeks later, they did lose a game on the road that they get an opportunity for revenge for this year. And that was a road trip to Texas Christian University, TCU. They lost that one 34-17, your final. But they did not lose another regular season game. However, there wasn't really anybody else on the schedule that really threatened them, with one exception, which was a regular season wrap-up on December 2nd, where they were on the road at number 22, the Tulane Green Wave. They won that game, by the way, 26-14. That was a week after they took on Navy and knocked off the Midshipmen 59-14 was your final there. So, I mean, look, last year they dropped one to the Sooners, a game that, if I recall correctly, and going back and looking at the box score of that game just because I want to get it right, Oklahoma put up 14 points in the fourth quarter after SMU had effectively entered at that point desperation mode. So that game was actually a little bit closer than the final score indicates. It took SMU a couple of late tutties to kind of break that score open. They scored a touchdown with 51 seconds left to play. They scored another touchdown with 3 minutes left to play when SMU was in desperation mode. So that game was a closer game than was indicated. The 34-17 loss when they took on TCU, the TCU loss also saw TCU score a touchdown with less than half a minute to play. And a touchdown with a minute 33 left to play. Again, SMU in desperation mode. They were only down 4 at the half. TCU, scored a touchdown at the end of the third quarter and then another at the end of the fourth. That was another game that was a hell of a lot closer than was indicated by the final box score. So even the two games that SMU lost last year, they were very competitive against D1 Power 5 conference teams until the very end of said football games. They will have to win a couple of games like that this year. But again, there's one ranked team on the schedule, and it's Florida State. It is to me the shakiest of the top three teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference, a team that is going to have to reforge a brand new identity this year. And that game is in Dallas. I'm not going to say if SMU gets in, great one, that they like backdoored their way in. What I am going to say is if you got to build the perfect ACC schedule to give your team the opportunity to win 9 or 10 games, if you got to build the perfect ACC schedule to give yourself an opportunity to be undefeated in the conference, SMU got about as close to building the perfect schedule as you possibly could.
Yeah, if they could have found a way to avoid Florida State, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's see what happens. I am, as much as I am poo-pooing week zero, I am looking forward to college football being back and a chance to watch SMU and see if I'm right, because they play, what, Saturday night?
They late Saturday afternoon, I think they kick off at, what time do they kick off? 4 p.m., if I recall correctly. It's either 4 or 7. SMU will kick off at 8 p.m. on CBS Sportsnet on the road at Nevada in Reno. So, again, like it's a fantastic tune-up game. And again, I mean, listen, I look at Florida State, who is, as we mentioned just a second ago, arguably the toughest opponent that SMU, not arguably, is the toughest opponent that SMU will stare down. Florida State's got Georgia Tech out of the gate. Then they got to fly back from Dublin, Ireland to play the following Monday against Boston College. Florida State has week 3 off. They've got Memphis and Cal both at home. So Florida State does have a couple of tune-up games. Then they're at SMU. And what do you know for the Noles? The Noles go down to Dallas to play SMU, their first roadie down to Texas for an ACC game before they turn around. And this might be good news for Clemson. The week after Florida State has to go down to Dallas to take on SMU, they turn around and run it back against Clemson the very next week. So if you are a Clemson fan, you're a big SMU guy the week before, hoping that SMU can get into a fist fight with Florida State and maybe wear them out a little bit before the Tigers have to go down to Tallahassee, Florida to take on the Noles the very next week. So there's some thoughts for you that we have on the ACC. The K-Ford rankings say that the likeliest team to win 9 games in the entire ACC, total games, not conference games, obviously, but just total games overall, are the SMU Mustangs, more so than Clemson, more so than Florida State, Miami, or NC State. But do keep in mind that the K-Ford rankings also say your projected final order of finish for the Atlantic Coast Conference is Clemson 1, FSU 2, Louisville 3, and SMU number 4. So there's your K-Ford rankings. Found those a little interesting as I looked at them last night. When we come back, you'll find interesting the water cooler cheat sheet, the top 3 sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. Coming up this a.m. at 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join the show. We'll talk some Panther football with him at 9:20. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Time for Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. We have been busy in the world of pro wrestling and MMA. So Lonzo will lead us through your home for professional combat sports. All of that coming up after Lonzo gives you a gold medal caliber sports flash.
Start playing the anthem. The Atlanta Braves dropped a second in a 3-game set to the Philadelphia Phillies, 3-2, bringing the series even at a game apiece. Max Fried gave up 2 runs on 4 hits in 7 innings. The Braves collected 9 hits but couldn't find the win despite multiple base runners in the bottom of the ninth. Philadelphia's lead in the East is now back to 7 games, and Atlanta is a game and a half up on the Mets for the final wild card spot. Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz has been suspended 1 game for a recruiting violation involving starting quarterback Cade McNamara. The report didn't specifically list the infraction committed by Ferentz, who has been in charge of the Hawkeyes football program since 1999. Tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m., as the Burns Rebels get the high school football season started as they head to T.L. Hanna to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus T.L. Hanna right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.